day known as the Sabbath, the Shabbat. Hallelujah. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Father, we ask that you give thanks to the Holy Prophet for the Lord's peace today. And that the seed would fall on good ground at this final hour that we're living in these last days, in times of tribulation. Send forth the Spirit that it might set free those who are crushed, possessed, whatever they're going through. I pray that the anointing will destroy the yoke and break the spoke. That I've been praying that people that they might walk with the liberty and the deliverance, Father, that you promised us. You give us perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on you. Yea, Father, we establish the law today, your law, your righteousness, your will. That we can make money, that we're never done away with. We thank you for this opportunity in the earth to live life. Because we know what is to come. This does not even compare. You said eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that you have prepared for your people. If we will just endure until the end, I pray that my brothers and sisters have strength to endure. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Shema Israel. Shema Yashar. You're tuned into Blueprint for Life, The Awakening, and the title of our lesson today is The Restrainer. I am V, the Preacher, and this lesson is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. Blueprint for Life being the codification, establishing the code that the Most High gave his people to live by, as spoken of in Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, which are the statutes, laws, and commandments that we should abide by. The awakening, of course, we see that the awakening people are trying to tarnish our awakening, steal the phrase, steal the term. You got woke culture, everything else. No, the awakening is this: the children of Israel who were lulled to sleep during their many captivities, and now us being here in our final captivity and at the end of 400 years of captivity are awakening to who we are as a people and returning back to our culture. And returning back to our culture is returning back to our God, his ways, and the statutes and laws that he laid out for us to conduct our lives by. Let me read a scripture as it pertains to understanding why returning to culture is important, because we're restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. I'm not going to be on here for a long time today, so we're going to just get right into it. We're going to jump to a lot of different scriptures today, different books of the Bible to establish our points. But Jeremiah 17:4 says this, "And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage," that's your culture, "that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever." And that is what we have been going through as a people, being scattered because we kindled the anger of the Most High by being disobedient to him. So we have been removed from our heritage and our culture. And even in Psalms 83, we see that they say, "Let us make the name of Israel, Yasharallah, no more." And then we have the original culture vultures, those Amalekites, Edomites, those Romans, and the Khazars that tried to steal our culture and our religion. And Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9 makes it clear who those people are, the synagogue of Satan. So brothers and sisters, the awakening is us returning to our culture, which puts us back to the worship of the one and only true God, who is the creator of heavens and the earth. So we must come back. Let's look at one more scripture as it pertains to the beginning. I always like to break down what this program is about by telling you who's bringing you the show and what our mission statement is. And then we're going to get into some of these other scriptures in the lesson. Deuteronomy 18 and 9 says this. When thou art come into the land which the Most High giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So we were given strict instructions not to take on the cultures of other nations, their delicacies, and worship their gods. Unfortunately, in all of the captivities we've been in, we've assimilated to their culture, taken on their customs to our own destruction, our sickness, our spiritual sickness, by being disobedient. And we were warned constantly. We're being given an opportunity to come back to our culture, the Great Awakening, walk in this priesthood, because we're a peculiar people that are called by his name. And he's expecting us to repent for our sins, clean up our act, and become kodesh and become set apart. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You can't truly be converted until you begin to become acclimated to the statutes, laws, and commandments, which are the dietary laws, the civil laws. Those codes, how we dress, conduct ourselves with our neighbors, our family, and our community. It's all written in the laws of what he expects of us. And if you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of Yah, you've got to understand what the citizen, a kingdom citizenship rules are that you must abide by. And then when you're complicit and you comply, you can be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You must be a believer in Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach. You must be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And you've got to be delivered from your demons and from yourself, your flesh, and walk in the Spirit, not after the dictates of the flesh. See, people, I believe that we do need to walk in deliverance as well, because a lot of us will come to the understanding or believe, but we won't grow up as men and women and lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. God didn't, the Most High didn't call us to have to struggle with demons. If you want to be free, Most High will set you free from that demon spirit that has you entangled, that has you wrapped up. For we as ministers of this gospel know that he said that we would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out demons in his name. And unfortunately, the power of the Holy Spirit is not functioning in a lot of people in this hour. And they're preaching a message of fear, or else they are reacting to the things that they're seeing in today's media and teaching to you about what Satan is doing, instead of teaching you what Yah is going to do and what he's capable of doing in this hour. You're not turning the hearts of the children back to the Father. They're looking for the doctors to help them with this moronic variant and the other situations. And people don't even realize that while you're being distracted by some of the stupidest news stories in the world that, you know, deal with racial tension and medical solutions and diseases and sicknesses and crooked politicians and kidnaps and borders, they're fanning the flames, they're fomenting the flames of war, a third world war. We are right at the cusp of going into Armageddon and the tribulation, and teachers for the longest have not taught you the hour that we're living in and how things are going to happen. Everyone was waiting for a rapture, golden ticket to something, to escape, because everyone has an escapist attitude. and the Christianity of yesterday and today has been one of covetousness and idolatry and paganism, while they never did separate from the world or come out of the world, still keeping Christmas and Thanksgiving and 4th of July and New Year's, all pagan customs, worshiping wood, stone, false gods, fallen deities, and having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. There's no more time for that. That's why there's only going to be a few to make it. And we're going to read some scriptures, the vision of Isaiah and the apocalypse of Paul, where it is made clear that not many in the last days will have the Ruach HaKadosh inside them, nor will there be many that will make it into the kingdom, because we have become lovers of this world. We love this world like this is the end all, be all. And you're all trying to keep up with the Joneses to your own destruction. We've got to come out of her, my people. Before I get into the first, I got a two-part lesson today because I want to break some things down. But before I get into it, let me establish this point. Too many of you worship the way God used to move. Are you worship the way the things that God used to do, so much so that it keeps you from seeing what he's capable of doing right now, here and now, because you're stuck in a paradigm. You know, you're stuck in the past. And you use the scripture, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, to your discontent, to your disservice. It's a disservice to you for you not understanding that scripture and using it out of context, because what you thought was the fullness of your experience at that time was not the fullness of the Most High Creator. You really relegated my Father to something simple, and he's far from being simple. You can't even fathom who he is and how far he can go and what he can do. So we are always looking to bless his name for what he has done. But what do you have for me today, and what are you doing in the earth right now? You see, he said in his scriptures that he reveals to his prophets what he's going to do before it's even done. So it's been revealed to the prophets of old and those who prophesy today, who are connected in the Holy Spirit, will hear the voice of Yah and know what to teach and preach his people to prepare them. Physically, we can prepare, and we should be wise and prepare, but there's only so far you can go, because there's going to come a point where outside of your preparation, your faith has to be strong, and you have to walk in faith and in the Spirit. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Most High. So you can stock up on all the food you want, get all the generators you want. Your faith has got to be strong, and if you're not getting a real rhema word from the Most High, your faith can't increase or grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Most High. That's what we have to have. All praises to the Most High. Let's go ahead and get into some of these scriptures. And we are living in the days of Noah, the days of Lot. We're living in the last days, brothers and sisters. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Some of the things that took place in the times of Lot, we know it was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was giants in the land. It was destruction. It was abominations, sexual immorality, turned their back on the Most High. It was just pretty much like it is today right now. And then as far as the days of Noah, here's a man who had a ministry, and he was crying out to the people to repent because it's going to rain. And the deluge had to come and destroy, once again, the giants, the Nephilim, the abominable creatures that were created through gene splicing, kind of like it's what's going on now. But the one I really wanted to point out that our Messiah said in the Gospels that in the last days, people will be giving in marriage. And what you fail to realize is that he's going to come back just when you think he's not going to come back, because everything is so-called back to normal. And we're living in a time where everybody's looking for a normalcy because their freedoms have been snatched away from them as they're being ushered into the beast system and the reign of the Antichrist system and the mark of the beast. And while it's happening and the infrastructure for this satanic kingdom is being built all around them, they're going to realize that all the partying and all of that stuff, they were lulled back to sleep. When it says that people will be giving in marriage, it's because a marriage is always festive. It's a festivity. So you've got now where you've opened up marriage to the homosexual and the lesbian and people marrying their animals and everything. But what's centered around all of this is people trying to be festive, celebrate, a reason to drink, a reason to dance, a reason to bring family members and friends together. So that's when Christ said that it will be like in the days of Noah, people will be giving in marriage, acting like there's nothing going on around them because they've been lulled back to sleep. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Second Timothy 3 and 4 says that, well, let's skip up to verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blaspheming, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I despise you because you're following after the Most High. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of the Most High. And truly, that's the time we're living in, where our people and nation, all of the nations, everybody just wants a celebration, a festival, a party, a Super Bowl, a championship game, a get-together, a buffet. Let's get together and eat. Let's just act like there's no tomorrow. And that's the times that we're living in. And you're being set up by Satan because evil is on the loose. Now, I told you once before, I dedicate these days, the Sabbath now, to teaching the Bible, teaching the Word. I don't like to inject too many things as far as what's going on the news and everything else. However, Satan is throwing so many things at you through the news and media and in the world that you can't even think straight. He is the author of confusion. And I've never seen such a cavalcade of news stories, false, mostly lies, that have us distracted to where we can't even seek the Most High. Job had the most distractions anyone could have because he had a blood disease. He lost his children. He lost his wife. He lost his cattle. He lost everything. He said, I dare not curse the Most High or lay this blame on him or question this. I will bless him at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Are you blessing the Most High right now with the plethora of news stories and happenings that are going on all around you? Do you have the ability to stay focused on your prize? Like Paul said, I press toward the mark to obtain the prize of the high calling in Yeshua HaMashiach, who this world calls Jesus Christ. That's where we have to be. So we have to crucify the flesh and remove this desire for pleasure. When they locked you down last year, you felt you lost your freedom. So everyone just wanted to get back to normal. But it's to the point now where people are so afraid of their rights and liberties being taken in another lockdown that they're going crazy out here with the thefts, the sex, the partying. It seems like when you walk out your door, you're walking into an orgy because of the way people are dressing and promoting sensuality and sexuality. Everybody's looking for, where's the party? Where's the bar? Where's the club? Where's the strip club? Where's the come up? No focus on anything. And I understand, because a lot of people are moving out of fear. They're moving out of fear because they know we have but a few seconds on the eternity clock for this dispensation to come to an end. And the rulers of this world, which are these Edomites, Esau, these Amalekites, the Romans, they know their time is about to be up. So they're pushing hedonism because they want all of you in sin and to miss out on the kingdom that's coming, the kingdom of the one and only true God. Let's look at John 3 and 19. John 3 and 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So the party's on. Nobody even wants to see the light. They don't want to see the light that shines on you, because you are the light of the world. You are disgusting to those who live in sin. It's not that they hate you or they're ignoring you or just being disobedient and rebellious. It's the light that you possess that makes the workers of iniquity hate you and despise you. It's being said right here. Verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. They don't even want to hear what you got to preach, teach, or say, because we have an obligation to Isaiah 58, cry out loud and spare not, and show my people their sins, their transgressions. And what is sin? 1 John 3 and 4, transgression of the law, not keeping his commandments and his laws. So we live in a society where no one wants to be set apart, Kodesh, sanctified, live right, and put this to the side. So do you see how seriously these people hate your awakening and the fact that you're going to tell them that I am in disagreement with the sin, your lifestyle, how you're living? What profit a man to gain the whole world loses soul? I don't even really care right now about your business, because you're here today, gone tomorrow. Eternity is what you're going to have to deal with. Eternal in the flames of fire or eternal in the kingdom before the Father. You have to make a decision. Now you must repent. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, he comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in the Most High. That's our obligation. Let's go to 1 John, just closer to Revelations. 1 John, the second chapter. And I'm going to start at the 15th verse. Listen closely, brothers and sisters. The awakening. Don't be lulled back to sleep, because there are people out here that are trying to thwart the awakening of our people and minimize the fact that we know what our real culture is. This is the biggest national threat to the world when this is revealed, that we are the true sons of Yah. We are the children of Israel. Everything you've learned in school in your whole life was a lie. But that one right there, no. The world's going to go crazy because they envy us, admire us, and hate us as a black and brown people. They call us a minority, but we're not a minority. They are the minority who's been given pseudo power for now. And they're getting ready to lose it, because the Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth, that the earth is for the children of Israel. The seed of Jacob, the promise that was given to Abraham. That's who that's for. And this world is being desecrated by those people who this world was not created for. That's right. So do not go back to sleep. Let's read this. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you have to understand this before you can understand John 3:16, because that was talking about a microcosm. A world without end, as Isaiah said, was Israel. And those who are grafted in was the world that Yeshua came for, that Jesus came for to die for, because he did not do that for the whole world, because he tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. For if any man love the world, hear me close. If you love all this madness that's going on, the love of the Father, the Most High, is not in you. And if it's not in you, then what is that that's driving you? And it's funny because this whole world is distorting what love is. It means that you will look with a blind eye towards my life. You will not give me hate speech. You will be politically correct. You will not talk about my sexual affinities and the things that I choose and what I choose to wear and what gender I am and my gender dysmorphia and my psychological problems. You will not, no. Real love checks you. Most High said, I chasten those who I love. You spanked your kids before they stopped that. These days, talking about timeout, which you can see didn't do nothing for these kids. Look at the timeout kids, crazy as they want to be. But you spanked your kids because you loved them to chastise them so that they would not repeat it or do it again, because you didn't want the cops spanking them with a baton, or for them to be so rebellious in the streets when they're away from you that they would bring harm to themselves. That's real love. This love that everybody's talking about today is a compromised, watered-down, saturated lie. And it's not the love of the Father. Let's go back to verse 16 of 1 John 2. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's pretty much nothing here, nothing really here to accomplish. We're living to live again. We're living to live again, and only what you do for Christ is going to last. We're trying to get back to where we were before Adam and Eve messed up. Eternal life, life with pleasure, came that you might have life and that more abundantly. This world is corrupt. The scripture said it best, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down having great wrath. The whole world has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. And that's why we see so much hell, destruction, slow death, disease and sickness. This is not it, people. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. Hold on, give me 1 second. I'm going to skip that part from 29. I want to go to something else. Let's go to Jeremiah 51 and 45. Do not be lulled back to sleep. You've got so many people preaching and teaching on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You name it. And some of this stuff is not to be ingested by you. Some of it is meat, spit out the bones, but some stuff you shouldn't hear. And let me say this real quick, all you camp leaders with your schools and everything else you got going, making money. We'll receive your message, but don't think you're going to leave me or leave my family, because that's breaking God's divine order. I did not see an elder or a camp leader in that divine order in 1 Corinthians, where it says that there's the Father, Yah, the Most High, then there's Christ, then there's the husband, then there's the wife, then there's the children. I did not see above the husband that the elder or the leader of that camp or that TV ministry that you've that they're supposed to guide your family. No, man, you are supposed to know these precepts and lead and guide your own family, not that man. So I thank you all for the messages. Some of y'all got some pretty good ministries out here, but it's still my responsibility to lead my family and cover my family, my children, my grandchildren, not you. Let's get that clear. I'm not waiting on your unction, your direction, on when I move. When I say move, you move. When I say go, you go. No, I'm not waiting on you to tell me where we should all gather. No, he said he would gather us. So let's get that straight, because this is another thwarting of the awakening. Some of these camp leaders are telling people you don't have to be baptized. That's a lie from the pit of hell and going to cause somebody a trip to the kingdom. Be careful of all these influences, because Satan knew about this awakening, and many people have been compromised early to thwart the awakening and lull you back to sleep. Let me read Jeremiah 51 and I think 45. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Most High. Now let's go to Revelation 18 and 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. It's time for the people, the children, the true children of Israel, to come out from this beast system, this world system. Don't get their shots. Don't participate in their money, their outings, their events. Don't go where they go. Come out of the entire system. Separate yourself and be separate, or else you will receive the plagues. Let me give you the analogy. That's like the children of Israel in Egypt with Moses. They were in a safe place called Goshen while the plagues were being released. But if they had come out of Goshen and gone back into Egypt, their servitude, they would have been in the midst of the plagues. You've got to separate yourself. And Goshen meant ark of safety, covering. What's the ark of safety? It's you keeping the commandments that puts a hedge around you, just like the hedge was around Job. And when you talk about an ark of safety, it's a ministry. So your ministry is also your safety ark. You must do the will of the Father while the plagues are being sent out, while folks are being towed up, scared of something floating in the air, pestilence and plagues. You should be crying out loud saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to be preaching hope. There might be time for someone else to still make it in. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. That also denotes that there are a people who will not be touched by the plagues and the pestilence. All your moronic, can't believe you've fallen for this Omicron stuff, because that was the name of a game that Bill Gates created in 1999. It was also the name of an Italian movie in 1963. And now you're walking around here in fear. Well, my Father has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let me show you something. Let's deal with this being lulled back to sleep. Let's look at Luke 17:26. And then I'm going to sum this up, and then I want to bring out today a revelation of who the restrainer is. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. For they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. It's funny when two men get married, one is the wife, one is the husband. I don't know, or do they say my husband, I don't know what they do. Anyway, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they were given in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they was drinking, they was partying, swapping around sexually, buying and selling things, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, here came the fire and the rain. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And remember Lot's wife. Don't you look back and try to go back and get things. So when it comes and it happens, brothers and sisters, it's going to be instant. It's going to overtake you. The Hebrew word is debak. It will overtake you and it will just come. Everybody told me they was going to get the solution, the beast juice, because they wanted to continue to travel, kick it, have a good time, meet somebody, get a girlfriend, get a boyfriend, everybody is just partying, doing their thing. And it's going to increase and intensify because everyone's being lulled back to sleep. No sense of spirituality, no long-term thinking, only short-term thinking. It's laid out for you right here. Don't just read over this scripture. He's saying you won't even realize how late it is because everybody's partying. This is going to be the key scripture before I close out this portion of the lesson. Judges 16 and 9. Old Testament, Judges 16, 9. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, this is Delilah and Samson. Y'all know the story. I could have started at verse 4, but I want to get straight down to it. You already heard the story of Samson and Delilah, but I want you to see something. And she said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the wives as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And there was liars in wait abiding in the chamber. And he broke them off his arms. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? She kept coming at him to find the source of his strength. She pressed, verse 16, let me sum it up. She pressed him every day. This is how Satan keeps coming at you daily. You cannot let your guard down, brothers and sisters, which is why you must endure until the end. 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor on my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto the Most High from my mother's womb. As I have been shaven, then my strength will go from me. And I shall become weak. You cut off my locks if you cut off my hair. He gave in not only to his lusts, but to the constant attacks of Satan. And we don't have the luxury to give in. But here's what I want you to see. Verse 19. She made him fall asleep on her knees. And she called for somebody to go. She lulled him to sleep and called somebody to come and shave off his dreadlocks. And then she began to afflict him, hit on him, beat on him, do things to him. But first, what I want you to see is how she lulled him to sleep. And it was while he was asleep that his gift and his joy was taken from him. I can go so many different directions with that, but you think you have the luxury of, my dad used to say back in church days, tipping and slipping, creeping. And you know, when it's dark outside, you think nobody can see you or God can't see your deeds, that you can go do mischievous things. Brothers and sisters, you'll probably lose the Holy Spirit and they'll never come back. Lose your anointing, lose your life, lose your soul. An unseen death lies waiting for you. The danger of being lulled to sleep in the lap of sin and lust cost you your life and your anointing. In this awakening, you do not have the luxury to turn into Lot's wife and be lulled to sleep by the pleasures because you're bored. I feel like I'm just trapped in the house. I'm just trapped with my family. I'm just trapped here. We're patiently waiting and looking up for our Savior to return. And we have insisted that we will not get weary in well-doing. Do not end up dying in your sin or missing out on this opportunity to make it into the kingdom. Samson ended up begging the Most High to give him one last chance and said that he was willing to die if you give me one last chance. He got that opportunity. It's one of the reasons why the fallen angels and Satan is so mad, because they're not getting another chance. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you Hebrews, and you that are grafted in, that this is no, the playtime is over, and you don't have the luxury of playing around with the anointing that's on your life or the sin. This is the time to get real serious about it. I own the rights to this music. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Back to the awakening. I am V, the preacher. Let's go ahead and get into this section right here, the restrainer. The restrainer. I've heard so many messages my entire life on people talking about who the restrainer is, and it's not until I began to be exposed to books that were hidden from us due to the Council of Trent, the Council of Nicaea, and the Vatican Catholic Church telling us what books we should be allowed to read and what information should be hidden from us. And now we're in the last days. All the books, tablets, and fragments are being discovered and found and being put together, and we're connecting the dots, and we're getting the truth. And the scripture said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That truth is the knowledge that they've been trying to hide from us about who we are as a people, how we got here, and where we're going. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 6 is the basis. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So as we see in verse 6, that's where it begins to talk about the restrainer. Let's take a look at some of the conversations that have been had in the past about the restrainer, and of course who people have thought this restrainer to be. First of all, let's go with what is known as Let me pull up this article. What is the removal of the restrainer? Give me 1 second. This computer is removing nice and slow. A lot of people are under the impression that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Some think it's Michael, the archangel. And it's neither one of them. That's what I'm here to let you know today. Let's talk about the one where they think it's Michael. Let's take a look at that one first and foremost. It's not Michael because Michael stands guard over Israel. Michael is a key cherubim angel in Daniel's last vision. He's the angel that's over the children of Israel, Judah, Benjamin. He fights for us. He's the one that was right up there with Christ and with Lucifer and with Gabriel. These are called archangels. Archangels, they have a lot of power and a lot of angels underneath them. But his assignment is different. See, brothers and sisters, we have to understand that Satan only took a third of the angels. The other two-thirds are in the seven aspects and seven realms of heaven. There are seven firmaments in heaven, and I'm going to read that in a minute from the vision of Isaiah. And at the top, the seventh heaven, and this being the seventh day where it's the Sabbath, is where the Most High, our Father, dwells, and certain key prophets and figures and the archangels that worship. But on the first five heavens, you have angels and people that have gone on the left and right. We're compassed with so great a cloud of witness, and they're worshiping all the days long, but they're not able to go up into the seventh heaven. You will learn this when you read. You will read the Apocalypse of Paul and the vision of Isaiah. I'm going to read some of the vision of Isaiah today. So Israel is being protected, the seed, the remnant, because he has to honor his promise to Abraham that there will be a remnant of people. And that's what Michael's job is. So each of these angels have major assignments in the earth. And then there are also angels that are assigned to you. We discussed that many times. You have a personal angel every evening about 5:30. Sons of God go back before him and they take a report of the things that you've done that entire day. I love that message because it brings you into reality that everything you do every day is being checked by the Father. And it's said in the book of the vision of Isaiah that in the seventh heaven, everything that happens on the earth is looked at, seen, recorded, and known. You're not getting away with nothing. You're going to have to give an account of every word, every thought, every deed, every action, which is why every day it's nice to be nice. It's important to do something for somebody, for the kingdom, to lift up heaven, to lift up the Father, and you're not doing it to get something. You're doing it because grace has been extended to you. It's not a trade-off, like, oh, I got to work. I mean, yes, we're doing work, but it's not to get something. You're going to be judged on, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was in jail, did you visit me? When I was in the hospital, did you visit me? When I was cold, did you give me clothing? You know, we are walking in the image of the kingdom of heaven where we're givers. We want to bless and fight against the wicked one and his demons and what they're doing in this earth. So Daniel's vision in Daniel, the 10th chapter, we see how Michael came to fight the prince of Persia and to get the answer through. That's in Daniel 10 and 21. Let's go ahead and read it. And I just want to dispel that Michael is not the restrainer who was restraining back the evil. It's not Michael. I think this is going to blow your mind. I'll tell you now where the answer is that we're going to go to so you can find this book on the internet, because it's not in the Apocrypha. It's in the Pseudepigrapha. And the book that we're going to go to is going to be The Apocalypse of Abraham. the Apocalypse of Abraham, the 10th chapter, is where we're going to go. But let me read Daniel 10 and 21 first. It says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." The prince, angel Michael, the prince for the children of Israel, who fights for us and does battle. You can find more about that in Daniel 12 and 1 as well. We also see in Revelations 12, 7 through 9, that the archangel Michael is doing battle in Revelations 12, 7 and 9, because he's also known as one of the military commanders of the angels. These angels are preparing. The angels on the fifth realm and then the sixth realm of the firmament that we're going to read about in a second. These angels are preparing to do battle, Armageddon, to return with the Shah, HaMashiach. Because, see, he's already ascended, and they recognize him in those seven heavens. He went through all six heavens to go take his throne next to the Father after he had risen from the dead 3 days, three nights. And all those angels are prepared now to come back with him to do battle and fight. And Michael's going to be one of the military commanders that they have to deal with. You know, it's so fascinating when I read this a little bit later, because I don't want to go long. We're almost on an hour now. But it was fascinating to know that the way the Father sent the Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, down through those firmaments, he even went through the firmament where Satan and his demons exist, and they didn't recognize it. And then when he ascended, he went through those demon spirits, those fallen angels again, and they had to worship him and say, "He got us. He conquered death, hell, the grave." We didn't even know who he was. How did they get away with this? That's actually in this chapter we're going to read. And he ascended back up into heaven, and everyone at each level of the firmaments, the seven firmaments, the seven heavens, they worshiped him and praised him as he rose up to be with the Father. If you remember, when he first rose, he told Mary and Martha and the disciples, "Don't touch me, because I have not ascended unto my Father yet." So you find out about Michael being a military commander and one to minister to Israel. That's what he's doing. The next one everybody thinks is the restrainer that's holding back evil. Well, let me tell you what they taught in church. They said the Holy Spirit is the restrainer. So when the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away, because the church will be taken away. And they're all going up to heaven, and then all the demons will be left here with the Antichrist. So that's what was taught. No, that's not what's happening. We are in the tribulation, and there will be the Holy Spirit still here ministering to the ones that are trying to avert the Antichrist system, the beast and the mark of the beast in function, until we're taken into the wilderness, that place of protection. And then there will be Armageddon and destruction. Because when the Savior comes back, see, we're in the wilderness before the Savior comes back. But when he comes back, there will be a resurrection. And we shall be transformed, and mortals shall put on immortal. The Holy Spirit is the chokmah. Today is not my job. Chokmah is the Hebrew word. My job is not to say whether the Holy Spirit's male, female, because I don't want to distract you from what I'm preaching or teaching. But however, another word for the Holy Spirit, one of the attributes, is wisdom. And it's called Sophia. And if you think about it, Sophia is the root word for sophistication. So there is a feminine, female aspect virtue to wisdom. Because when you pray for wisdom, and don't forget the Father said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a problem with me. That's the one blasphemy that he will not tolerate or forgive. So the Holy Spirit's job was to come and be a comforter, not restrainer. It's the chokmah, the mother. Let me see if I can pull up some information on that. Give me one second. Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit, because it's a comforting spirit, and it's a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom being Sophia. There's so much. Yeah, I don't want to distract from where I'm going because we're getting ready to go to the apocalypse of Abraham. But the early Christians knew the Holy Spirit as a feminine figure. And you can pull that up. Google it after the lesson and do more research on it. That's as far as I want to go with that. Let's go ahead and get to Abraham, the apocalypse of Abraham, because I don't want to belabor the time. My voice is a little scratchy today as well. Listen to this. The apocalypse of Abraham. See, what the reason I was telling you about the seven heavens and all the various angels in all of these different heavens, I need you to understand that how vast this culture of angelic beings is. Angels were created on the first day of creation. They are water and fire, the flames. That's what they were created. They were not created from earth. They are altogether different beings, and they worshiped and praised the Father every day of creation when they seen him create something phenomenal. They applauded him and worshiped him, and they knew that who man was. It was Lucifer that wanted to be like the Most High and refused to bow down and worship Adam and man and wanted to destroy us and the earth that was created for us. There's a vast network of angels with assignments, people. But you've been relegated through Christian church theology teaching to just a few angels. You didn't even understand the ones that you have assigned to you daily to protect you and keep you from danger and harm and minister to you. These angels are sent to minister. Now we're going to find out who is the restrainer that's holding back Leviathan, holding back dangers, trouble, keeping people calm, and keeping the demons from destroying one another, because I don't think I'm going to have time to read all of the vision of Isaiah, but the demons are fighting in the, Satan is the prince and power of the air. These demons don't get along. They're bucking for authority and power. They are fighting in the firmament, and it says it. I may be able to read a little bit of it in the book, but let's deal with the restrainer. Chapter 10, verse 1, and it came to pass when I heard the voice pronouncing such words to me that I looked this way and that, and behold, there was no breath of man, and my spirit was amazed, and my soul fled from me, and I became like a stone and fell face down upon the earth, for there was no longer strength in me to stand up on the earth. And while I was still face down on the ground, I heard the voice speaking, go, IOL of the same name, through the meditation of my ineffable. It's spelled I-A-O-E-L. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but back then there was no J's, no I's, but today would probably be Joel, J-L, or Jorel. But nevertheless, let me go to verse 4. The name. He said, consecrate this man for me and strengthen him against his trembling, because Abraham in his vision was trembling. He was frightened. We're going to see the same thing with the vision of Isaiah, that he was snatched while in prayer and the Holy Spirit came in the room. And while he was in prayer and meditation, he went up in the spirit. People didn't even know that he was gone, and saw these visions of the seven firmaments, seven heavens, and all of these angels. Listen to this. The angel he sent me in the likeness of a man came, and he took me by my right hand and stood me on my feet. And he said to me, stand up, Abraham, friend of Yah, who has loved you. Let human trembling not unfold you. It's like, stop shaking, stop being scared. For lo, I am sent to you to strengthen you and to bless you in the name of the Most High, creator of heavenly and earthly things, who has loved you. Be bold and hasten to him. I am IOL, and I was called so by him who causes those with me on the seventh expanse on the firmament to shake a power through the medium of his ineffable name in me. This angel
comes from the seventh firmament. So he's one of the higher ups. He said, I am the one who has been charged according to his commandment to restrain the threats of the living creatures, of the cherubims against one another, and I teach those who carry the song through the medium of man's night of the seventh hour. On each level in the Isaiah of vision, there's worshiping and singing and a throne, and there's a person that's responsible on each level to teach the song that they must sing to worship the Most High. But no, there's no one on the sixth level, but on that seventh level are these archangels, these fighting, these cherubim angels. And I don't think you heard it clearly, so I'm going to read it again. This man said what his assignment was. I am the one who has been charged according to his commandments to restrain the threats in the earth of the living creatures, the cherubims against one another, that's the fallen angels and deities and angels from fighting each other, and I teach the songs. Let's skip to verse 10. I am appointed to hold the Leviathans because through me is subjugated the attack and menace of every reptile. He's the one saying, I keep wild animals calm from attacking the people. The restrainer is a particular angel whose assignment is given to hold things back. It's not the Hukmah, Sophia, the Holy Spirit. It's not Michael. It is an angel you would have never known about if you had not picked up the Apocalypse of Abraham and found out who the restrainer is. Brothers and sisters, the thing about even that Leviathan, the Leviathan is going to be released for us for food in the wilderness. It is a sea creature that is being restrained and nobody can see it now. That's right. Let's read the rest of this. He said, because through me is subjugated the attack and menace of every reptile. I am ordered to loosen Hades and destroy those who wonder at the dead. I am the one who ordered you, who ordered your father's house to be burned with him, for he honored the dead. I am sent to you now to bless you and the land which he whom you have called the Eternal One has prepared for you. For your sake, I have vindicated the way of the land. Stand up, Abraham. Go boldly, be very joyful, and rejoice with you, for a venerable honor has been prepared for you by the Eternal One. Go complete the sacrifice of the commands. Behold, I am assigned to be with you and with the generation which is predestined to be born from you. And with Michael, blesses you forever. Be bold and go. He said, I, along with some help from Michael, blesses you and your children, the seed of Abraham, which is our people. There it is there, folks. It's that simple. The restrainer is known as I-A-O-E-L. I don't know how to pronounce that properly, so I'm spelling it for you. But this is an archangel from the seventh firmament. Sits on the expanse. And he's over so many different things. He was actually sent. He was given the command to go and bless Abraham. He told Abraham, I'm the one who destroyed your father, burnt his house because he was worshiping the dead. That's right. Abraham was worshiping the moon before he became Abraham. He was Avram. And he had to be removed from paganism as well. And so that the father could create a nation from him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our forefathers. Let's look at, before I get ready to close out, I'll go ahead and read a little bit from the vision of Isaiah. I recommend that after this lesson, you go and read the entire book. And you can find it on YouTube as well. Type in the Vision of Isaiah or the Martyrdom of Isaiah, so you can see what he saw up in the seventh heavens. There's so much in here, I don't know where to start.
I'm just going to go ahead and read about the firmaments and the heavens and the angels. I'm going to read from, of course, chapter 7. Seven heavens, chapter 7, goes into the firmament. And let's skip down to verse 7. And the Father of the one who is greater, you will also see, because for this purpose was I sent from the seventh heaven, that I might make all this clear to you. Verse 8. And he went up into the firmament, and there I saw Samael and his host, and there was a great struggle in the first firmament, and the words of Satan. And these demons were envying one another. And just as it is there above, so also is it on the earth. The first heaven is up there at the firmament, which is the distance and length where these spaceships send that they're going up into outer space. And ain't nobody getting off this planet alive because there's a firmament. That is the first heaven where the moon and the stars are. But they're not going beyond that. And that's where Satan and his fallen angels exist. And this is why man is trying to go up there to be with their father, Satan. And it looks, listen to what he's pointing out in the first heaven. He's saying in that first heaven where Samael, Satan is, there's a lot of envying and hatred. These demons are not getting along because they have the spirit of hatred on them. They know from whence they came and they know where they're going. So there's confusion amongst them. Chapter 7, verse 9. And just as it is there above, so also is it on earth. As it is above, so below. So what he's saying is that the confusion that's going on with these demons is what's manifesting on the earth with politics, countries, nations. They can't get it together. Even with their so-called Great Reset, what's happening with your leaders is they're jostling for positions in their Great Reset, their New World Order, where they think they're going to be successful. Anyway, let's continue with the heavens. And I said to the angel, what is this envying? And he said, so it has been since this world existed till now. And this struggle will last till the one comes whom you are going to see. And he will destroy these demons here. The first heaven. After this, he took me up above the firmament into the first heaven. See, so let's make this clear. Right underneath the firmament is where these demonic spirits are, Satan, prince and power of the air. But the first heaven is right outside the firmament. I saw a throne in the middle, and on the right and left of it were angels. And those on the left were not like those on the right, but those on the right had more glory, and they all sang praises with one voice, praising the throne that was in the middle, and those on the left also sang after them. But the voices of those on the left were not like the voices of those on the right, nor their praise like those on the right. And I asked him who led me, to whom is this praise directed? And he said, to this praise of the one who sits in the seventh heaven, the one who rests in the holy world, and to his beloved from where I was sent to you, to there is where the music, even from the first heaven, is directed. Verse 15 talks about the second heaven. And he took me up into the second heaven, and the height of that heaven is like that from heaven to earth and to the firmament. So he's saying the distance from to the second heaven is about the same as the distance from earth to the firmament. There are different dimensions, people, when you talk about the seven heavens, different realms and dimensions that you go into. Isaiah said something, and I didn't read it. He said, Moses said that no man has seen, can see the Most High and live, but Isaiah said, but I have seen his glory and live, because he took him out of the flesh and in the spirit, took him into the seventh heaven, and Isaiah was able to behold the glory of the Father and the Son. So when you go to the second heaven, let me paraphrase real quick. Verse 18, and I fell on my face to worship, but the angel that led me would not allow me. He said to me, worship neither the thrones nor these angels from the sixth heavens before I tell you to in the seventh heaven. That's where you bow down and worship, because that's where the Father, the Son, and the Chokmah, the Holy Spirit, Ruach, is. Verse 19, for above all the heavens and their angels is your throne placed. And also your robe and your crown, which you will get to see today.
is in the seventh heaven. And I rejoice very much that those who love the Most High and his beloved will at their end go up there through the angel of the Holy Spirit. I'll read that again, chapter 7, verse 20. And I rejoiced very much that those who love the Most High and his beloved, Yeshua, will at their end, their death, go up there through the angel of the Holy Spirit. These visions that Paul and Isaiah had speak of a difference of everybody going into the grave. Your body's going into the grave. And it'll be down there, and it will resurrect. But your spirit must go back to the Creator into one of these realms, one of these heavens, these dimensions, where you will worship, praise, and sing as you await the consummation. Verse 20, we read that. The third heaven. And he took me up to the third heaven, where I saw on the right hand and on the left in the same way, with a throne in the middle, and him who sat on it. It was not the Father, but there was someone else. Verse 22, but no mention of this our world was made there. And also the glory of my spirit was being transformed as we went up from heaven to heaven. And I said to the angel with me, nothing of the vanity of that world below is even named here. And he answered, nothing is named because of its weakness, but nothing is hidden which is done there. Then I wished to know how it was known. And he said, when I have taken you up into the seventh heaven to the one who was above these from where I was sent, then you will know that nothing is hidden from the thrones and from those that dwell in the heavens, nor from angels. Nothing is hidden, but each level was getting greater and greater. I'm going to skip, let you read it. I'm going to skip to the seventh heaven. No, I'm going to go to sixth heaven, which is chapter 8, verse 10. And he took me up into the sixth heaven where there was no right or left. The first five heavens had a right and a left with people singing. If you go to the Russian icons, Moscow icons book, and you see those art, those pictures, they have actually painted a depiction of seven levels. And you'll see the sixth level was open. He took me up into the sixth heaven where there was no right or left, nor a throne in the middle. But all were of one appearance, and their praises equal. And strength was given me that I also sang praises with them, and the angel also sang, and our praise was like theirs. The voice then of these angels was not like those of the fifth heaven, but of a different voice, and there was much light. And by comparison, I thought the light which I had seen in the fifth heaven was as darkness compared to this of the sixth. And I rejoiced and praised the one who had graciously given such light to those who await the promises that endure and wait for this salvation, brothers and sisters. And I entreated the angel that led me, that from there on I might not return to the world of flesh. Indeed, I say to you, Hezekiah and Joab, my son, and Micah, that there is much darkness there. And the angel who led me knew what I thought. He said to me, if you rejoice over this light, how much more will you not rejoice in the seventh heaven when you see the light where the Lord and his beloved are, he that in the world is to be called the Son, Yeshua, he who is not yet revealed in the corruptible world. You have to understand that this is Isaiah's vision before Christ had even been revealed and came down. Isaiah's vision is different from Paul's vision. So when you study, because you need to study to show yourself approved, I want you to read, I want you to listen to and read the martyrdom of Isaiah or the ascension of Isaiah, and then go and read the apocalypse of Paul so you can see the different time frames that they both were taken up in the spirit to these various heavens and what had transpired. Isaiah's vision is before Christ had descended into the earth in the form of a flesh and called Yeshua. And Isaiah, by the way, in the Hebrew tongue is Yeshaya. Yeshaya is Isaiah. That's what it means. So listen, let me finish reading about the sixth heaven. And by comparison, I thought the light which I had seen in the fifth heaven, I read that one, 15. And the angel who led me knew what I thought and said to me, if you rejoice over this light, how much more will you not rejoice in the seventh heaven when you see the light where the Lord and his beloved are? 16. He who is not yet revealed in the corruptible world, Christ, nor the robes, that's the flesh they're talking about, nor the thrones, nor the crowns, which are placed there for the righteous, for those who believe in the Lord who will descend in your form. They're talking about Yeshua coming down. The people he saw, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, that Isaiah, Yeshua saw up in the seventh heaven, they had crowns sitting there, but they could not put them on yet until Yeshua had come to earth and accomplished his task and came back up to the seventh heaven. Then they were going to be allowed to put on their crowns. Who are these people I'm talking about? Moses, Enoch, Ezekiel, Job, all of them up here on this seventh level. There's levels, people, levels, and I love that it's seven. 17, for the light which is there is great and wonderful, and concerning you not returning into your body, well, your days, Isaiah, are not yet complete for coming here. So unfortunately, after you get through seeing this, you got to go back and finish your days out. You know he was depressed, so he had to shake him. And when I heard this, I was sad. But he said to me, do not be sad. Okay, let's go into the seventh heaven, chapter 9, and then I'm going to close out because I've gone much longer than I wanted to go today. And he led me into the air of the seventh heaven, where I heard a voice saying, how far is he who dwells among flesh to go up? It's like, I can't believe you're letting me go this high up and see all of these heavens. Oh, my man, y'all. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, hang in there, endure. This world, this life, its temptations and sins is nothing compared to what's going to be revealed. And I was afraid and trembled. And he said to me as I was trembling, behold, and another voice was sent out and said, the holy Yeshua is permitted to come up here, for his robe is here, that he can come, because there's a robe waiting for him here. We want him to see it, but he's going to have to go back and finish his assignment. Verse 3, and I asked the angel who was with me, who is the one who prevented me, and who is the one that turned me that I might go up? And he said, the one who prevented you is the one in charge of the praise of the sixth heaven. That's right, brothers and sisters. That is that restrainer we just heard about. And the one who turned to you. Now listen, he was up there along with Christ, along with Michael, along with the archangels, and they were keeping the praise that was going directly to the Father, because the Father is on the seventh level. And then he also showed him, he said, also the other restrainer who was here, he is the Lord, the Christ, who in the world is to be called Yeshua, Yahushua. But you cannot hear his name until you have come up from out of this flesh, this body. So that was just in the air. Verse 5, he took me into the seventh heaven where I saw a wonderful light and angels without number. There I saw all the righteous. He's talking about those who've gone on, brothers and sisters. They were stripped of their robes of flesh because the flesh was on earth in the ground. And they were like the angels who stand there in great glory. But they were not sitting on their thrones, nor were there crowns of glory on them. Here we go. And I asked the angel that was with me, how is it that they have received robes but are not on their thrones, nor with their crowns? And he said, they do not receive the crowns and thrones of glory, even though they behold and know them to be, until the beloved, Yeshua HaMashiach, ascends in the form in which you will see him. The Lord will indeed descend into the world in the last days, he who is called the Christ, after he has descended and become like your form, and they will think that he is flesh and a man. They won't even know that he has come from the seventh heaven in the form of a spirit, because he's going to come as a man. Verse 10, and the God of that world, Satan, will stretch out and lay hands upon him and hang him on a tree, not a cross, not knowing who he is. And thus his descent, as you will see, will be concealed even from the heavens, so that it will not be known who he is, whom they killed. And when he has plundered the angel of death, he will rise on the third day and will remain in that world for 545 days. Then many of the righteous will ascend with him, whose spirits will receive their robes when the Lord Christ ascends and they ascend with him. Many of you all don't even realize that Christ, after he rose, conquered hell, he brought back some from the dead with him, and he walked around for days and was a witness. So you had thousands of people that saw him when he was walking around before he ascended, that were firsthand witnesses to the resurrection and passed it on. And this is why these people had a reckless faith, because of what they had witnessed and what they saw. But what I wanted you to see was the expanse of the heavens, because you're so relegated to just this planet, this plane. And I wanted you to see the expanse of the angels, because when people have taken books away from you, and then religion teaches you that these angels are little baby cupids flying around with bow and arrows, and it's just someone they can't reproduce, they don't have seed. You've been taught so many lies your whole life. So the original point is the restrainer is one of the angels that come from the seventh heaven, who will release Leviathan, the other large creature that's in hiding. He's restraining all these forces. He's keeping the angels at peace. These angels operate powerful as gods, which is why the fallen ones are being worshipped all over the earth. Expand your mind, brothers and sisters, because you have no idea of the magnitude of our Father, what he has for us, and the angels who are at work for us. He's not going to let what's happening in this world overtake us or destroy us if we remain faithful to his commandments. We're living to live again. We're going through this matrix just to get back home. He knew us before he sent us, and we do not want to let him down. He has confidence in you, like he did with Job, that you will not sway, be lulled back to sleep. You will maintain your awakening. Because it said it's high time that you awaken out of your sleep and your slumber. We must look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Most High. Make sure you go read the Apocalypse of Paul and read that entire book of Vision of Isaiah. It will bless you. And go ahead and get yourself a pseudepigrapha so that you can start knowing more about our Father, who he is, and the promises that he has for us. I am V, the preacher. I'm going to get ready to close out with what I always say. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Kwam Yasha Allah. Let's rise. Let's keep the faith. And let's keep these commandments. Shabbat shalom.